Tonight's shiur is for the week of Parsha Shmini. We begin with a story about Hagaon Rav Shimon Sofer. He was well known not only amongst the Yidden but amongst the Goyim as well in his area. And the Goyim looked at him as a very holy person whose tefillahs were listened to. Once was a Goy who was owned a bakery, and a big bakery in the city. And he became very sick. He had a heart attack, and it was touch and go. It was a shaila whether he was going to live b'chlo. His Rami was on the gates of death. So his wife ran to Rav Shimon Sofer, because as we said, the Goyim knew who he was as well, and begged that he should daven for her husband, the baker. So what did he do? He turned to Hashem. He says, Ribono Shel Olam, you made many, many, many Goyim in this world. So cure this one, so it'll be another Goy. What's the difference? One more Goy. You made so many of them, so it should be another Goy in the world. Sure enough, his tefillahs were accepted, and he got better. And this baker, this goy, felt such a karas hatov, they decided that every week, every Friday, he was going to distribute free of charge challahs to all the poor Jewish people. And so he did, every single week. And the Yidden used to come and throw some wood into the fire of his oven to make sure it shouldn't be in the Isra Pasakum, and it shouldn't, right? And they would have kosher challahs that he would distribute every week as a karas hatov to Rav Shimon. Next, move on to a beautiful story that occurred to a family in Yerushalayim. This couple had only one child. It was a 9-year-old boy. When this boy was born, there was a very, very big complication in the birth, and there was a big question whether the mother and the child was going to pull through. They were both in matzav of sakanas nefashas, and it was mamash minisei nisim. They both survived. The boy was born, and the mother pulled out healthy from it, and they both survived. Now the doctors said, in no uncertain terms, that there's no way that she should have another child, because if she would become pregnant again, it's mamas sakana for her and the child. So that's the way it was, and the rabbis agreed, less life-threatening for her to become pregnant, and that was that. They had to live with the fact they're going to have one child. So this boy, he grew up, and he was now, as he was growing up, and he became older and understood a little more, he kept asking, how come I'm the only boy? I want to have a brother to play with, or something. Why come I'm the only child? So the parents are pushing him off. Anyways, one day, the boy asks his father, says, Abba, I have a question. He says, what would be the din if a boy is born about a week before Chag HaShavuot? And therefore the bris falls out on Shavuos. Are you allowed to give a bris on Chag HaShavuot? So the father answered him. He says, yeah, just like if it falls out on Shabbos, you can have a bris on Yom Tov as well. You can, no problem. But the father was curious. He's a little kid, 9-year-old kid. Like, of all questions in the world, he's asking his father, why dafka about giving a bris on Chag HaShavuot? But, okay, too much thought about it. His thought was a little bit strange. Okay. A few days later, the mother, this boy, he goes for a routine checkup in Kupat Cholim, and all of a sudden they find out the shocking news that this woman is pregnant. And they told her, listen, this is not a joke. This isn't life-threatening. You know, we told you that you can't get pregnant. And there's no choice, but you have to abort the child. The parents understood, and they heard, and they spoke it over with the rabbanim, whatever, and they got the psak that, yeah, you know, because of threat to life over here, the mother's life, she has to abort the child. Okay, so they scheduled for the next day to have the abortion. In the meantime, that night, the father was putting his son to sleep, you know, saying Kriya Shema with him, whatever. And they're talking a little bit about this and about that. And somehow that came up the topic about what the boy asked his father a few days earlier about the bris on Shachag HaShavuos. So he turns to his son. He says, oh, by the way, you know, I meant to ask you, why did you ask me a few days ago about why is a bris and supposed to come out on Chag HaShavuos? Can you do it? Why would you ask me that? So he says, tells his father the following. And this, keep in mind, it's talking about a 9-year-old kid. He said, well, because the other day I was in school, and I remembered what you told me, I had heard, that if a person becomes embarrassed, people are embarrassing him, whatever, and he, at that point, if he doesn't answer back, he just accepts the embarrassment, then it's a tremendous time of ratzon. And a person could ask for anything he wants from Hashem. So what happened was, I was in school, and a boy made fun of me. He started poking fun of me and embarrassed me. And it wasn't just like a private, it was in front of the whole class. And not only that, all the other boys started joining in and started ridiculing me, make fun of me. And my natural reaction was I wanted to, you know, get back at them and scream, ah, no, not true, whatever. He said, but I remembered this. So what did I do? He says, I didn't answer, and I just ran to a corner, private corner, and I dove into Hashem. I said, Hashem, I was just embarrassed terribly, but I didn't answer back. So I know it's an opportune time for ask for something. So I want a brother. And that's what I dove in for. And he says, and you know, Abba, he says, I don't know, I felt like my tefillah was accepted in Shemayim. I just had this feeling that my tefillah was accepted. So right after that, I ran to the calendar, and I looked up, and I counted 9 months later, and I saw that 9 months later from today, that day, was Chag HaShavuos. So I said, oh, that'd be interesting. If my mother really did have a boy, then it would be, in 9 months from now, it would be come out on Chag HaShavuos, the bris, and that's why I asked you if you can give a bris on Chag HaShavuos. I was curious. Well, the father heard this, he was like, wow, couldn't believe it. So he went to his wife and told her the story. He says, you're not going to believe this. You wonder, you know, how all of a sudden you got pregnant and it's dangerous. We scheduled abortion with tomorrow. Meanwhile, I hear more background to the story. So the mother says, 100%, we have to ask another Shaila, because there's a whole new piece to the puzzle. It's not just a fluke. This is seems like Mina Shemayim, which from the tefillahs of our son, and that I'm pregnant, and maybe it's different now. So they went to their Rav and asked him what he thought. So he said, listen, this already is above me. This is a Shaila for a guttel. So he put them onto one of the Gdolei Poskim and to ask him what to do. So he heard, and he said, after hearing all the information, and he said, if the parents are full of emunah and Hashem, they have permission, if they want, to continue the pregnancy, and velashem ha-Yeshua, and Hashem should help them. So they have the permission. Of course, we can't learn from this. Every situation will be taken in the Sefer, but in this particular case, because of what happened, that's the psak they were given. So the parents decided they're going to go for it, and they didn't abort, and they should carry on with the pregnancy. It was step by step, she had, of course, tremendous pikuach. They're watching over her. The doctor is constantly testing her and watching her, and it was a very scary process. And then finally came, the time for the birth. It says that there were eight specialists, eight mumchim, that were there in the room to deliver her because of the situation. It was so touch and go. But sure enough, benisei nisim, she had the birth, the kid was healthy, the mother was healthy, and all was good. Now I know what you're going to all ask. When was the bris? It was in fact a boy. The bris was a few days after Shavuos. Okay, it wasn't exact, but still doesn't take away from the power of the story. And there's another example of this quote-unquote segula of when a person is embarrassed and it's a tremendous time of ratzon. So brings a little bit of a makor for this idea from a gemara. The Sfasemes, the famous gemara in Tainus, Daf Kafe, with the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. The story goes that they were very, very poor. And she used to, on Erev Shabbos, when all the women were, baking their challahs, so you pass by the homes, you see the smoke coming out of the chimneys from their ovens, baking their challahs. And she didn't want to be, different than anybody else, but she couldn't bake challahs, didn't have any money, they couldn't afford challahs. So she used to take some wood chips and twigs, whatever, throw it into the oven, just so it should make smoke, so people should think she's making challahs. So Gemara says that she had this wicked neighbor, this woman, who, saw the smoke coming out of the chimney, and she says, can't be, what is she baking? She doesn't, they don't have a penny to their name. I gotta see this. Well, it's impossible. So she knocks on the door, opens it up, and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife, says, uh-oh, and this is a very embarrassing situation, because the truth is, she doesn't have anything in the oven or whatever. And the Gemara says she was so embarrassed, she just ran into the other, ran into the side room. So then this wicked neighbor said, let me see what's in this oven, And so as she's approaching the oven, a miracle happened, and the oven filled with bread. So much so that it was like bursting out of the oven. And so she called out to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife. It says, quick, come out, get your shovel. You have to take out the bread. It's going to burn if you don't take it out now. So the Gemara says that she said, I knew it. I was just going into the side room to get the shovel myself. I was just going in to get there. Exactly. That's why I ran into to get the shovel. That's what Gemara says. That's the Gemara. So the Sfasemis asks two questions. He says, first of all, if she, why did she lie and say she ran in to get the shovel? It's not true. And in fact, she was the Gemara. If the Gemara says she was embarrassed, the Gemara says befares. That's not the case. The Gemara said she was embarrassed, and that's why she ran in the room. So first of all, why would the Gemara say that? And if that is the case, she was embarrassed. Why would she lie and say that she was going to get this? So he says, Fasemes, we see this yisod. When the woman came in, she was embarrassed. She was very embarrassed. She walked in and goes, I have nothing in the oven. She was very embarrassed. So she knew that when a person gets embarrassed, it's a time, like we said before, of ratzon. And that nisei nisim could happen when a person's embarrassed. So then she said, I ran in to get the shovel. Meaning, she felt she was embarrassed. She says, look, I was embarrassed. So she said to herself, I'm sure a nace is going to happen now because I'm so embarrassed. So I'm going to go into the room and get the shovel, because I'm sure it's going to be a miracle. How do I know? Because I'm embarrassed. So in a time, it's true. The Gemara says that she was embarrassed and she ran to the room. Yeah, she ran to the room because she was embarrassed, but she also ran to get the shovel because she knew since she was embarrassed, I'm sure an ace is going to happen. And here's our Yesod. It's a tremendous time of Ratzon when a person feels this embarrassment. It's Mesugal for Nisei Nisim to happen, as in fact we saw in the story. Next is another Meiser, which we can learn a very important lesson from. There was a fellow who had a jewelry store in Yerushalayim. And one day, a girl, this little girl, 7-year-old girl, walks into the store and says that she'd like to buy a gold necklace. So the man, you know, the Balabait, been in this business for a long time. He doesn't remember last time a little girl like that, 7-year-old girl, coming in to buy a piece of jewelry. It's not normal. So he says, "What, you came by yourself?" He says, well, where's your mother? So she says, "I don't have a mother." He says, my mother died, and our older sister takes care of me and the other siblings. She's raising us, and that's exactly why I'm here, because this sister, she just got engaged. And we want to get together, siblings, and buy her a gift for her engagement. And therefore, that's why I'm here. I want to buy her a nice gold necklace. So, you know, this heart went out to this girl, and it felt bad for her, you know. But he said, do you have any money? It costs money. And she goes, yeah. So he takes out like a little bag, and she turns it over upside down on the counter, and bunch of change comes out, you know, a couple of 10 shekel coins, a few 5 shekels, and some shekels, you know, 10 agurots, whatever. So the, the salesman, you know, the Balabais counts the money, tick, quickly, and he sees that the money, you know, it's bekoshi, not even 200 shekels, whereas the necklace she picked was like 100 shekels, 1,000 shekels. 1,000 shekels. But again, he, you know, felt bad for her, and he said, okay, fine, you know, he said, where'd you get this money, by the way? So he said, yeah, well, you know, me and my siblings, you know, we get a little money here, a little money there, a shekel here, a shekel there, and we put it all together, so we filled up the bag. And anyway, so he said, okay, no problem, I'll wrap it for you. So he took the 200 shekels, wrapped the 1,000 shekel necklace in a nice box with a ribbon, and gave it to her and said, here, take this to your sister, she should be b'mazal tov, and just be very careful because it's very expensive, you know. So she goes, yeah, fine. Okay, and that was in the morning. Towards the evening, he's about to close the store, and in walks this young woman. Who was it? It was the sister who was getting engaged, and she was holding in her hand the gift. And she says, here, my little sister came this morning to buy this here, and yeah, I'd like to, you know, return it. She says, why? He says, why? Because she says, I know it's not shayach that she had enough money to buy this. And I don't want to, I don't, you know, she didn't pay for it, what's the value of it. I don't want gifts like that. So he says, no, not, please take it, you know. He says, no, I don't want to accept staka, I don't want it, I don't think. She says, no, he says, his lesson was that she paid the full amount. He says, you know what, my whole time here, you know, being a jewelry salesman, nobody ever paid in full as much as your sister did. She goes, come on, we know that's not what it costs. He says, no, he says, I'm not speaking in fancy Lashon here. He says, it's really true, let me explain myself, he says. So a person who buys jewelry, a jewelry is not something you need. It's a luxury. So a person has his, bread and water or whatever he needs, his personal needs. And then he has some extra money, so he goes by, so that's who comes to my store, people, a little extra money. You don't need it, you can live without jewelry, and then that's what they buy jewelry with. He says, but in this case, with your sister, she gave everything she had. For her, it's not a purchase of a luxury. She, every last penny, this is all the savings that she had. So that's what I meant by nobody ever paid in full like she did. Because this is paying in full. This is paying every last penny. Mela, this is someone who purchased a jewelry in full, and I'm very happy to, I never received such a payment before, and please accept the gift. So that's the story. What's the lesson that we can learn from here? He says, sometimes the Yetzer Hara makes a person think, you know, I did this mitzvah, I don't know, I learned Torah, I did this chesed, whatever it might be, but what is it worth? As you know, personal, I have my personal interest, and bias, negias, and doing it for my own, reasons, and my mitzvahs are not pure. What is it worth? What is it shaveh? However, a person has to realize that everybody on his level, in the earlier days, and people on very high levels, okay, maybe such a mitzvah wouldn't be worth too much. But now, when we're on a lower level, and a person on his level is moser nefesh, on his level, for doing the mitzvah, and gives it his all, so that's called paying in full. That's called paying in full. If that's the maximum you could do, that's like we saw in the story, that's like paying for this 1,000 shekel piece of jewelry, 200 shekels, that's called still paying in full, because that's the maximum you can do. And therefore, that's the attitude a person has to have, and not let the Yetzer Hara convince him that he's not worth anything. No, if you do your very, very best, your maximum, that's called paying in full for the mitzvah, and Hashem will reward in kind. Okay, now those are the stories. Now let's move on to Shaila. There's a maisa with Reuven that he was driving his car, and he sees his friend Shimon that was hitchhiking. So he says, "Oh, where are you off to?" So Shimon says, "I'm going to." He goes, "Okay, fine, very good. I'm going there also. Hop in." Okay, so Shimon comes for the ride. They're going, and all of a sudden, Reuven turns to Shimon and he says, "Listen, do you have a driver's license by any chance?" So he says, "Yeah, sure. Why?" He says, "Well, maybe you can do me a favor. I just want to pull over here. I have to go into this building just for a few minutes, 10, 15 minutes. I got to just do something here. But I'm going to like double park. There's no parking over here. But you stay in the car. You can sit in the driver's seat. And if it happens to come, a policeman comes, whatever, you can move because you have a license. You can move. So would you mind doing that for me?" So Shimon says, "Sure, why not?" Okay. Reuven runs up and runs to the building. Shimon, is in the car. And all of a sudden, Shimon looks at his watch. He goes, "Oi, I don't believe it. It's almost Shkia, and I didn't have a daven mincha." So he looks across the street. He goes, "Oh, I don't believe it. There's a shul right there. I'll just hop across quickly and catch a minyan." So he runs to the minyan, whatever. Meanwhile, Reuven comes out of the building, and he doesn't see Shimon in the car. But what does he see? He sees a 700 shekel fine under his windshield wiper. He got a kanas, 700 shekels for illegal parking. So just then, he sees Shimon running to the car, out of breath. And Reuven says, "What? Where were you?" So he says, "He told him, listen, I just ran across the street there to a minyan. I just realized I didn't have a mincha, and I saw a minyan. So, shul, I just jumped in." He says, "That minyan's going to cost you big time." He goes, "Why?" He says, "Because you left my car unattended. Got a 700 shekel fine. And, excuse me, you're going to have to pay for that." He says, "Listen, I don't think so." He says, "Why not?" He says, "Because it's just a grama. I just caused you, and grandma is not chayiv, and unless you have kavana to mazik, but I didn't have kavana to cause you a loss, and I'm only a grandma, and therefore I shouldn't be chayiv. So the question is, who has to pay the fine? First of all, before we get to the crux of the matter, Shimon, halachically, what is he? He's a din of what's called a shomer sachar. Somebody who's watching something and getting paid for it. How is Shimon getting paid over here? He's getting paid because it doesn't have to be money. It's service, get paid with the service, is also getting paid. So since he was a hitchhiker and he was getting a ride to where he's going for free, so that's called getting paid, getting a service done. And therefore, he was watching the car, but he was getting something for it, a ride, a free ride. So that was really called a shomer sachar. Now, when it comes to shomer sachar, there's no such thing as grama. Grama is by nezek, not by a shomer. You know, if I give you something to watch, and then you fall asleep, and then it gets stolen or whatever, you can't say grama. Says no, a shomer. There's no such thing as grama by shomer. Anytime something gets stolen from a shomer, that's quote unquote grama, but that's a different gedarim. That's only by nezek that a person be pater from grama, but not a shomer. A shomer has to be a shomer on the article. Mele, that he's a grandma, that's not a good time. However, psak wise, it pashtus in fact the Shimon, the one that took the ride, the hitchhiker, he should have to pay the fine. Why? Because a fine, a knas, is defined as somebody who is negligent and not doing what is he supposed to be doing, he has to pay the fine. Now over here, okay, Reuven, parked in a pulled over where he shouldn't have, that's true. But then he threw the responsibility onto Shimon. Now as he said here, you stay in the car and I'm going to do what I got to do. So now Shimon is responsible for this car being where it is. And if he didn't move it, and he left it, and just left it, and went to go daven mincha, so he deserves the fine because he was the one that just left the car where it was in the end, and therefore as we said, a fine is defined as where the person who did something wrong, and there he's the one, he should have to pay the fine. Therefore, Shimon should have to pay. So that was the psak. Shimon accepted the psak, but he asked. But what was I supposed to do? I said, I didn't stum. I fall asleep or leave the car. I had to go down in mincha. So what was I supposed to do exactly? So first of all, he was told, you should have been more responsible. You should have told Reuven, listen, it's late. I might have to go down in mincha. I'm telling you right now, and therefore it's your responsibility, which he didn't do, number one. And fine, he forgot. He didn't realize, okay. But Lamaisa, then what? The answer is, if you have responsibility, you're a shomer, take care of this car, it shouldn't be parked in the wrong place, or whatever. So then, osei b'mitzah, pater b'mitzah. So you don't have to go daven mincha. Says you could daven mincha in the car, sitting down in the car, whatever, that's what you should have done. And because that's your responsibility, again, you should have planned it out beforehand, you shouldn't have to come to that. But Lamaisa, if that's what it came to, then the final psak was, you're not allowed to leave the car, and it means missing the minion, miss the minion, and if you have to daven in the car, daven in the car. Okay, one last shaila for today, which is also in the similar vein. There's a maisa with Yehuda, that he parked his car also in a place where he shouldn't have parked it, but nobody else was in the car. But he parked his car, and he left to what he had to do. Fine. So in the meantime, a policeman drove by and saw this parked car. It was illegally parked. So he pulls over, he takes out his book, to write him a ticket. His friend, Yaakov, happened to be sitting across the street on a bench, and he sees that this policeman was about to write a ticket for his friend's car. So he wanted to help him out and save him, you know, the knas. So he had an idea. He took his own car keys out of his pocket. He ran over and he says, "Okay, says the policeman. Okay, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm moving it right away. You know, please don't give me a ticket. I'm going to move it." So the police says, "Okay, fine, good. So just move it and don't let me catch you again parking illegally." Whatever. He goes, "Okay, so no problem, officer. I'm sorry. I'll take care of it. Whatever." Okay. So then the officer, you know, the guy got into the car, the policeman got in the car and drove off. So after he drove off, so then Yaakov said, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, I saved my friend Reuven from my friend Yehuda from a big ticket." And he went back to sitting on the bench. What happens? A few minutes later, lo and behold, the same police car pulls up again. And he sees the car still parked there, and he looks, and he sees the other side of the street, the Yaakov sitting on the bench. So he calls him over. He goes, "You tried to pull a fast one. You said you're leaving, and you didn't leave. You went back and sat down. So now, besides the regular 300 shekel ticket, I'm gonna put another 300 shekels on you because you tricked me." And you said you were going to move your car, and you didn't move your car. So he gave him, instead of a 300 shekel ticket, now a 600 shekel ticket. So an extra 300 for tricking. So the question is, now who has to pay for this ticket? In other words, Yehuda wasn't the one that illegally parked this car to begin with. He didn't even know all that was going on. Yaakov, he innocently was trying to help his friend. He did what he did with the hope of that he wouldn't have to pay anything, and it almost worked. Right? It's just in the end, the police happened by fluke to make another round and see the same car. It was a fluke. And so his taina was, Yaakov's taina was, "Look, I was just trying to help my friend, so why should I pay?" The question is, who has to pay here? The psak that was given was that, again, similar like we said in the last shaila, we have to understand who the knas is for. Now, the first 300 shekels, of course, that's the Yehuda. He shouldn't have parked there. That's clear. He has to pay the first 300. The second 300 is something that Yaakov did wrong, right? That he tried to help his friend. That's very nice. But the owner of the car didn't do anything to deserve the extra 300. It was strictly the friend Yaakov who, you know, because of him. So since because of him, he has to pay the 300 extra 300 shekels. But Yaakov asked, "Was that the right thing though that I tried to do, you know, to help my friend? And to begin with, and why or whatever, to try to help my friend, to try not have to pay that original knas. Was that a proper thing to do?" So the answer we're given was, in fact, it wasn't the proper thing to do. That because being when you're parking, again, it depends on the situation, but many times parking illegally presents a threat to, you know, maybe there's places where the ambulance has to go by or who knows, different situations, and park in front of a fire hydrant, I don't know, whatever it might be. And many times these illegal parking, it presents a danger. So the first Yehuda shouldn't have parked there, and he deserves to get a knas. And you're trying to save him from getting a knas. No, he deserves it. He shouldn't have parked there to begin with. Mele, it's not the place to try to help your friend in such situations. We should all be zoiche to help each other in the right situations. And Hashem sees our ben adam l'chavero helping out our friends properly, then he'll in turn try to help us and bring us the Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehir b'yameinu.